A63. Number 19A.
We stopped at the fourth beatitude, and now we come to the fifth. Now, what is the fifth beatitude? What is the rendering, the biblical rendering? What is the metaphysical meaning? Yes, yes, Luis? Yes? Can I quickly repeat for the tape? You said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Yes?
I think it gives another sense of exaltation above the moral, not upholding the moral concept or the moral conception of anything.
Yes, yes. Could you tell me what attitude you have, or in which case where you feel that you express mercy on something or somebody?
Well, seeing it in its true light.
Yes, yes. Quite right. Huh? So, exactly as you said, you see that you say the idea of expressing mercy is a biblical term, but a very nice biblical term, which says, whatever the situation looks like, whatever a person looks like, or what that person has done or so, I don't take that into account. I just give to that situation the highest sense I can. Really, you express always the fatherhood sense to any situation or person. You don't ask, do you deserve it? You don't ask, well, you have done something wrong, and therefore you first have to be punished. It is that sense that really of grace, of mercy, which always says, I always give everything from the fullness of life. Yes? You know, it's like, as you said it, I think one remembers that Mrs. Eddy said that Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, where to mortal sense the mortal appeared. You see, that's an attitude of mercy. Though to human sense we could see that it is a mortal situation, the situation of mortality and sin, just the same, you don't take that into account. You always give out from your great source, life. It's a true sense of fatherhood, expressing the fatherhood of man. Yes? And therefore, why is it life? Yes.
Well, that.
Yeah. Just repeat it, yeah?
Life, capital L.
Yes. Yes. Now, you see, the giving out of ideas, without taking anything into consideration, so to say, an unqualified giving, that's life. That's the fatherhood of life. Yes. Very nice. So we come to the sixth beatitude. Now, what does the sixth beatitude state in terms of the Bible? Yes? Blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see God. Yes? Now, what does that mean metaphysically? Blessed are the pure in heart. When are we pure in heart?
When you're whole.
When we are whole, yes. When we have the true consciousness, Eleanor.
When the state of consciousness that cleanses.
That is cleansed when you have a consciousness that is cleansed of error. Yes, that's the pure consciousness. So we have to see that it is not so much the second day of purity, spirit of purity, but it is a pure consciousness. The accent is on heart, not on pure. But naturally that consciousness must be a purified consciousness. Do you know where we have that in the textbook also as a sixth subject? In the chapter on prayer, the sixth prayer is that prayer of pure consciousness, where she says how you have to shut out error and only let in truth, that you go into your closet and shut out all that is erroneous and sinful, and only take in that which is right. See, that's the attitude of the pure in heart. The wholeness, somebody said, the wholeness of consciousness, where nothing extraneous is anymore in consciousness, where consciousness is so whole that nothing unlike God is present. So that is an attitude, again, and the reward is, for they shall see God. That's an interesting point. What does it mean? If you compare, you know, the other rewards, like the first one was the report that there is the kingdom of heaven. Later on in the third it was, for they shall inherit the kingdom of earth. Now here they shall see God. Is there any difference in it? Why is the reward also of the nature of truth? Because they can see the wholeness, yes? Yes? It's absolutely true. Does that not remind you of for corresponding section? That we have the whole of God here now. You see, it's not only heaven, it's not only earth, it's a much higher sense what you get as a reward. If you see God, it's, so to say, one of the highest rewards that we can get. Isn't that what the sixth day of creation wants us to teach? That the sixth day is the day where you always have the full concept, that it has seven subtones. And as you know, John Dolly always said, when you come to the sixth day, it's the day of the seven synonymous terms, because it's the wholeness of being, and therefore through that consciousness you are able to see really the whole definition of God. You become aware what God is. Yes? So you have a much higher recompense than ever before. All right? If we go to the next one, to the seventh. How is the seventh? First, textually. Yes, blessed are the peacemakers. What does it mean? You mean Carter and Begin, and then they get the Nobel Prize for peace, or there is no accuser there, for instance. Very nice. There is nothing within our consciousness anymore that accuses, that can only always see everything in its perfection, that always can say, thy sins are forgiven thee. That's, we'll see that next week. That's the keynote of the chapter on practice, right from the beginning, from the standpoint of love. Thy sins are forgiven thee. There is no accuser there anymore. It's you have a consciousness, not only a pure consciousness, like in the sixth day. Now it's a step forward. You use that pure consciousness so as to never accuse anything, never see anything in its imperfection. You always see the plan fulfilled. You always see anticipating that every situation is there to bless and to bring out the best. You never consider a situation as something that could really take away something from us, or a situation that could be harmful or anything. You always see a situation and say, there is a blessing in it. At that point, you see, with that whole consciousness of the sixth beatitude, we can now go a step further and say, with that consciousness, we can look into the world, into the whole world, and see actually that only peace is going on, that only the idea of God is working. We don't accept anymore that there is something else at work, and if we would accept that there is nothing else that can be at work, we really would have reached the point of love. Yes?
Thanks. You started out with the poor in spirit with the new paradigm. Aren't the peacemakers those who have made peace with the new paradigm and have accepted it?
Yes, yes. You can say that they have accepted it fully, huh? Yes. Mm-hmm. And the reward is what? Blessed are the peacemaker. For Edith, you've gone now. Yes, you said. Yeah, and what does that mean?
Perfect.
Express
perfection, wholeness.
Yes. 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 Okay. Well, that would be the flow of the Beatitudes. And I think it's a flow that really should be ingrained in our consciousness more and more. So actually we are free from the terminology and don't have to think now what is the first and second and third beatitude, but we can constantly flow and say, well, here with the beatitudes we come to a completely different attitudes. The beatitudes are now no more platitudes, but they are now really beatitudes, blessed, a beatified state of consciousness, and that is naturally something else, but just thinking and the literal sense of things and the mental sense of things. It is an inner attitude which says within ourselves must constantly be something that first of all, the first beatitude, first of all, is always seeing that we have to be constantly a seeker, that we have constantly to have that desire of inquiry, of information, of looking deeper into reality, deeper into the things of God, so that we have a feeling we haven't yet got it, I'm not yet fully aware of the reality of being, I'm still on the way, and therefore to have constantly that expectancy that we will see something new. So blessed are those who have that seeking, searching, researching attitude, inquiring attitude, because there's the kingdom of heaven, because they will gain the kingdom of ideas, they will gain the realm of ideas. They will be brought out of the mental stage, they will be brought out of the thinking stage, into that stage of heaven, into the heavenly realm of ideas. And as we begin to culture that within ourselves, naturally the very next step is that we keep really this attitude pure, so that we constantly feel that we must long for this new vision, even if it takes away from us the old landmarks, our old concepts, that our old worldview our old Weltanschauung is taken away from us, that all what we have loved and admired humanly may be wrong, may not belong to that new paradigm, that may be taken away, that we have to get away from it, that we have to turn our back to it, and therefore, even if it is a struggle, even if it is mourning that takes place, we will know that we will gain only by doing it. We shall be comforted. We shall have a state that says you haven't lost anything by losing something. Where loss is gain, and you have that second beatitude that you will be comforted if you lose hell. Where really the unuseful surroundings are taken away from us, and where we get the useful surroundings in the birth of the idea. So we already live with the comfort that we will never lose anything by turning away from the old landmarks. But in order to do that, naturally we can see that we need the attitude of the third beatitude, namely that attitude which says, not my will be done, but thy will be done. It is that meekness which is willing to say, not what I really want to achieve should be achieved, not what I really want to attain should be attained, things shouldn't turn out the way I would like them to turn out. I'm absolutely willing to say, let there be. And so I must have that great quality of meekness that puts oneself and one's ego right away. So only in that way we will find really solid ground under our feet. Blessed are the meek, for theirs the kingdom in earth. They shall inherit the earth. They will have solid ground. They will feel safe and secure in that, because no selfish element enters anymore. And so you come to the fourth beatitude, namely all that which has to do and say, now put everything what you have into this attitude. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst to find the principle, the righteousness of being, the principle of being. And put everything into it. And so we get the feeling, let's really investigate the principle of being. And when we do that, the return is, and they shall be filled. It will demonstrate it. It will bring about the whole spiritual power, the power of demonstration within you. In that way we gain the king within us. So that we are no more asking, is there no king and no counselor within you? We feel then that everything within us has the power, the kingly power, and therefore will demonstrate itself and it will be filled. But this shows a further step, namely, which says, but that is not only an individual attitude. That is not only an attitude that concerns you. Up to this point, really, we had a sense that this is building up our new personality, our divine personality. I have to be seeking, poor in spirit. I have really to be poor in spirit to gain something. I have to be willing to mourn because I will be comforted. I have to be meek so that I have solid ground under my feet. I have to hunger and thirst after righteousness so that it demonstrates itself. Now you come to life and you come to the fatherhood of life and say, but all the universe must have that. You get to the fifth day and say, be merciful, not only with you, but with the whole world. And now it opens up to the whole world, to being, and it says, be merciful. Try not only to see that you are right, that you are hungry and thirsting after righteousness, so that you shall be filled. But now you go and be a father to the universe. Take all those four qualities and show that these qualities are all the qualities that you project on the whole universe, and therefore see that true sense of what you are also in the whole universe. Be merciful. Give unconditionally to the whole universe the right idea. Project it out of into the universe. Life is that infinite projector, that infinite impelling power and impulsion that projects life out into the universe. And therefore, we come to the sixth beatitude and says, well, if you see yourself and the universe only as God sees it, then you have a pure consciousness. Then blessed are the pure in heart. See, then you have a whole universe that is okay. A whole universe where you only consider it as a universe of ideas. And so we get that sense. Then I see really God. Then I see the universe and man and the universe as God sees it. And therefore, like Jesus has said, if you see me, you have seen God. And so you begin to see God as the universe of ideas. And he shall see God. And that comes to the point of the seventh beatitude, where we begin to see that what we have been doing is, as the seventh usually does, it just summarizes the first six and says, if you have been doing that, then you have really brought, how can I say, that you really have brought peace and rest. Peace and rest to the universe. And so you are the Savior. You are the Comforter. He shall be called the children of God. Yeah. Well, can you see that these beatitudes, that you can't think them out? They are not thinking stages. These beatitudes are actually beatified states of being. We cannot think that we are meek. We have to be meek. We cannot say we are merciful. We have to be merciful. Every one of them says you have to be that. It's not a question of thinking. It's a question of being. And that's why it is at the point of Christianity, those whole beatitudes, because it's a state of manhood. And this is why one feels that only when one goes through these sevenfold orders in life, that actually then that the science of being becomes a Christian science. Because it makes you not only a scientist, a correct thinker, a straight thinker, but it makes you a Christian at the same time. Therefore, a Christian scientist. If the student does work with these beatitudes and with these commandments, he can be quite sure that he is not only doling ideas and a list of ideas and jungling with ideas and making exercise of blending with ideas, just with as if they were human concepts which you can just combine ad lib, but that this teaching here make you a new creature, makes you a Christian through science, a Christian scientist. Yes. So these are the Beatitudes.